Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we'll go over an incredible article from the LA Times attacking Dr. Drew, and I'll attack the LA Times. Also, actress, stunt woman, Eli Jane is going to join us. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent. Hey, we got a cool opportunity for fans of the Adam Carolla Show. The Big Idea with Dr. Gadgets, a new show at Podcast One. Dr. Gadget speaks to experts of their industry and asks about how they build their business. The program is presented by Master Spas, a leading spa retailer who is giving away one of their premium hot tubs to a podcast listener valued at $15,000. I've seen the photos. It is an amazing, amazing piece of American engineering. Just listen to The Big Idea with Dr. Gadget and go to masterspas.com/big idea to enter. It'll take you 30 seconds and you'll be in the running for a $15,000 premium hot tub plus installation. This should go without saying, but make sure you got the space in your home before you enter. One more time, listen to The Big Idea with Dr. Gadget and enter to win at masterspas.com/big idea.
Inside the Toolbox, remembering 150 years ago when a guy named Frank James shot up a train that was a hell of a streak until it ended last week in New York City. From the latest, Frank James was arrested. Parents, stop naming your kids after criminals, but not your band, like guitar singer Joe Walsh and his merry band of misfits, the James Gang, on the Toolbox. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ricky Lake and actress Eli Jane. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, his family also celebrated Passover. They passed over hugging him. They passed over educating him. And they passed over going to his football games. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. We get on mandates. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
Mr. Mouth. Just can't keep his big mouth shut.
Yeah, Lynch sent over a couple of nicknames we can look for in a moment. Chris can check at the email as well. As long as we're on that subject, you have it in front of you?
Yeah, so he emailed us saying, I really only had Mike Lunch as my nickname when I was a little pudgy, but there was Michael Motorcycle, turn the key and watch him pee, turn it back and watch him crap in elementary school.
I didn't even know that one.
Well,
pretty advanced.
And then he said there was a girl.
And also, I like this simplicity of the fat kid just lunch. Having his last name changed to Lunch.
My mean grandma would say Brian 2x4 came through the kitchen door.
Oh, right.
Why are they always poems? I was Gina Bonina Sewing Machina. Is that just fun for people?
I guess it's a Banana Fofana situation.
Sure.
But also, there's nothing longer and thinner than a 2x4. Yeah. I've said this before. And people could say, well, maybe it's 2 foot wide by 4 foot tall. Standard interior doorways are 32 inches. Two by four is 24 wide.
You have to be carrying it horizontally for it to work. For the joke to work.
Yeah. It really – anyway, sorry about that, your mean grandma.
And there's
oh
more.
Yeah, my grandma famously was telling the table of out of towners that when I was in high school I was bursting out of my clothes,
yeah.
And now I look better, but when I was in high school I didn't look good because I was big and I was bursting out of my clothes. And after this went on for some time in front of my mom, I felt a certain need to interject and explained to the table that I was an all-Valley football player. That's why I was big,
right,
and bursting,
yes,
out of my clothes. I lifted a lot of weights.
But it's also...
would have been nice if Mom piped up at some point.
Really?
Because
that was
the only
option.
Context these out-of-towners had was my grandmother, who normally you think would be sort of rounding in a positive way, was rounding in a negative way. So really? I had to interject the part about football.
On your own behalf. But isn't it?
It's always sad when you're doing it on your own behalf. You're kind of waiting for someone else at the table to pipe up, but nobody
never
chimed
happens.
In.
Okay. It's an indictment on your parents for not buying you new clothes. It's like you should. A child should never feel that they are going through an entire year of school bursting at the seams.
Well, I wasn't, you know, the thing is I lift, you know, I ate 6 eggs a day and lived in the weight room. I was this sort of big, bulky dude who was trying to achieve something on the football field and
sure.
trying to pack on the muscle. It didn't look like one of the Hemsworth brothers, but it wasn't.
Didn't look like one of the Farley brothers either.
Right. When you picture the grandma talking about the kid being big and bursting out of his clothes in high school, you picture
Augustus Gloop.
Yeah, there's many stories of kids being chubby at a younger age and then at some point as adult thinning out. But I do not think you're picturing captain of the football team.
And no, that's, not Gaston.
That's I wanted to reframe it in a more accurate way. But I always found it was interesting that she was working it hard, and then my mom was just sitting there looking down at her.
Yep,
at her
sounds
pot
about
roast.
Right.
Yep, and so when I did,
where was Adam getting these eggs?
I felt self-conscious about it, but I felt I had to do it. My grandmother stuck to her guns though; she didn't back off. And her angle was, "I'm complimenting you now."
No. Oh, sure, yeah. All's well that ends well.
Most right. improved award.
There you
That's right. Sorry, Chris. You have more with Mike?
Yeah, I said there's a girl in his high school who supposedly had hair on her nipples. So she was called Shitty Kitty with the Hairy Titty.
That was a thing, by the way, hair on the nipples.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not aware of this.
It
was a thing.
Somebody with PCOS.
Somebody
or
would
endometriosis?
Say that. I was with this chick, and we, you know, got to second base or something, and there was hair on the nipples. It was a thing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a thing.
I'm with you.
Tell you.
And how does that rumor get started? Like, what does a girl have to do to disprove it? Which is also very shaming.
Yes, I.
Yeah, there was a girl in my school. There was a rumor that she masturbated with a hot dog.
Oh my god!
And she had to switch schools. Like, it was brutal.
Wow,
yeah,
unsanitary.
Look, if it was poached, I'd be fine. Grilled, not so much.
Yeah.
All right.
Lest we forget Max Zapata.
Yes.
In the nickname department.
Oh, I know.
What about him and that
name?
His
real name? That's not his real name.
No. Well, who are we talking about?
I'm talking about Chris Laxamana, who years ago you nicknamed Max Pat.
Always disgusted. And it also proved to me something about the mental firepower and the ilk of the person, the people you surrounded yourself with, Chris.
Okay.
Not
indictment.
Those guys weren't geniuses, because Max Zapata was low-hanging fruit.
Is there the whole time.
There the whole time. They walked right past it.
And by the way, at the wedding, I met a member of the gay bus, and I told him I felt like I was in – I was meeting a celebrity.
Yeah, the bus you guys took around the country pretty much at 19.
That's
I was
right.
Really
a lot
excited.
Of those guys were at the wedding.
Yeah.
All right. So out of the bus, but still in the closet, or
out of the cupboard,
that's
out
right.
of the drawer.
All right.
Out of the credenza.
Let's move on.
Shivero.
Brian, we have another hoodie situation with you.
I
so
tried
weird.
To tamp it down for him yesterday.
Mr. Hypervigilance, do you haven't noticed I wear this hoodie all the time? How has this just become a problem?
I do not notice you wear it all the time, but somehow you're blocking.
That's weird.
I cannot see Chris through your hood.
It's voluminous today.
I'd bring it up if I saw it in the past.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, this is, thank God our show is documented on video. This is a minimum 2-day-a-week hoodie.
This is the hoodie, though?
Yeah.
2 days a week.
This is a former sponsor of the show, American Giant.
Oh, yeah. Every week, 2 days a week. I don't know why. In the winter,
I mean, it's the beginning of the year. You know, it's April, so I get cold.
So the hoodie, the actual hood, blocks me from seeing the slice of Chris Maxup.
Little kangaroo pouch. Name is? Laxamana.
Your actual last name.
Through the hood or by the hood.
Laxamoxa.
Yeah, so.
As you called him for a short period of time.
There's a hood. There's a window, and Chris takes up the last quarter of it. And I can see him, so I can see when he's typing or doing something.
Everything's the same.
All right. Well, if everything is the same, then we're basically predicating this on me not seeing Chris but not saying anything in the past.
I don't know what's changed.
Question.
I can't imagine.
What about your shoes?
Something has changed.
Are you taller? Are you more lifted?
Again, this show is documented on video every day. We could go back and see the multiple days a week I wear this hoodie.
Yeah, I'm not saying you haven't worn the hoodie. I'm saying something has changed because I cannot see Chris.
Did the table get shifted?
No.
Well, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, it has to do with probably me sitting closer to the edge or something.
No, because
I don't know what that is, but there's something.
I'm in the same place because I got the fixed table here.
I don't like it.
Well, it's only a matter, by the way, it's only a matter of about 3/4 of an inch.
Maybe less.
On your side. Because once if you lean in 3/4 of an inch, now he's fine. Like, he's fine right there. So I don't know. Slide your mic forward a little bit.
Wear a crew neck sweater tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
All right. All right. Well, or we'll just do it this way. Mm-hmm. I'll slide back. Okay. Or maybe slide your mic forward a little bit.
But now I can't see that Shayna Punim at all because you have this big mic arm in front of you.
You just pulled it back. But if you push your mic forward an inch, that's the impact we'll make.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Is that comfortable?
Can do.
All right. All right. Now, Mark Garagos came in here yesterday and he had a head of steam.
Uh-oh.
Because it was the, he adores Dr. Drew. You know, there were boyhood friends.
Pasadena Playmates.
That's right.
Yes.
Playboys.
And he expressed to me that it was the 1-year anniversary since the hit piece on Dr. Drew from the LA Times, where he was asked by a board member of the LA City Council to sit in for free. Mm-hmm. And volunteer his time to work on the homeless problem in Los Angeles. Since, by the way, I don't know why it took us 11 years to get here. It's all addiction. Everything is addiction. Everyone who's on the street is fucking strung out. This the new face of welfare or face of homelessness is not the mother. Yes, it is. Everyone's on drugs. All people who choose to fucking sleep under the freeway overpass. So, by the way, I was driving in today. On the Santa Monica freeway, they have caged up the one overpass side so nobody can sleep on the dirt underneath the freeway with the 36 inches of headroom. But they've all shifted to the other side now. So they shall be there, and then they'll put a cage on the other side. Yeah. God knows what that'll cost the taxpayers. And
hostile architecture.
Then they'll shift it to the next overpass. But anyway, everyone's on drugs. Everyone is fucking strung out. So somebody said, why not get an addiction medicine guy in here?
That'd be great.
He'll work for free. And maybe we can put a dent in this situation. This is a year ago. Mm-hmm. I would say the homeless situation has gotten worse in the last year.
No one could say it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Here is from April 16th, 2021. This is who wrote this article? This is the hot take from the LA Times. Who is downtown? Their building is downtown. I've been in that building.
They should
know
better
than anyone. Editorial board.
It's not one person.
Oh, nobody wanted to put their name on this?
Not a single name.
All right. Well, here we go with the geniuses at the LA Times.
Editorial. Dr. Drew is the wrong choice for LA's homelessness authority. If Los Angeles County supervisors are serious about their historic care first, jail last approach to justice and safety, they will say no to the Homeless Services Board appointment of Dr. Drew Pinsky, the bomb-throwing, COVID-denying, justice reform-blaming media personality who urges L.A. to renounce many of its hard-won human services programs.
Huh.
Dr. Drew, as he is known in his media appearances, was nominated by Supervisor Catherine Barger for a seat on the board of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, the joint powers agency that's charged with getting people off the street and into housing. LAHSA is no place for Pinsky, a physician, addiction specialist, and TV, radio, and podcast pundit who has positioned himself as a truth-telling expert with a knack for cutting through liberal nonsense supposedly spouted by politicians and the news media.
First things first, I never really get in today's new world order, whether it's we're going to attack Dr. Drew for volunteering for the homeless committee, or we're talking about ivermectin, it's horse space. Like, well, where's the energy coming from? Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. They've both been around for a while.
Right.
Maybe he goes on there. Maybe he has a couple good ideas. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, where's the energy coming from?
This is inert. When they listed his qualifications, he's very qualified. He's a physician and an addiction specialist.
Right. How dare he?
Yes. How dare he?
That's exactly what you want.
As opposed to a board room filled with yentas who have no practical experience working with people with addiction problems, I would say, yeah. I would say since
grab a specialist.
Addiction is a major component of this. And when I say major, I mean well into the 90s. Then it seems like a dereliction of duty to not have an addiction medicine person in this group of people who are making decisions on – they're basically making decisions on behalf of junkies, but none of them have an addiction medicine background.
So, scary.
Yeah, scary. Well, you could also argue – can we just step back and look at the results? I mean, maybe this has got something to do with this. Like, look, if there was a committee to figure out what to do with train bridges, I wouldn't mind a mechanical engineer sitting on that. Would you?
I'd encourage it.
Yes. All right. Sorry, Dawson.
Such nonsense once included the notion that COVID-19 was something to worry about. The disease, he assured his audience in February 2020, was nothing more than the flu. And concern about it amounted to a, quote, press-induced panic.
Yeah, well, there was a press-induced panic over COVID, but still really neither here nor there when it comes to addiction and homelessness.
And man, do we punish people for changing their mind. Yeah. And feeling as though they're owning up to something that they may have missed the mark on. It is so punitive. Why would you ever say, I got this wrong when this is what happens?
It's never ending. And plus, this plan of... Well, this guy might do a good job running the defense for the Rams, except for we got to go back and find some tweets from high school. It's neither here nor there. This is a problem we're having. It's a big problem. He's donating his time. He's an addiction medicine specialist. Is that all right, LA Times, or not okay?
The supposed nonsense also includes the belief that people shouldn't face years in prison for possessing small amounts of illegal drugs. Proposition 47 is murder, Pinsky said, referring to the 2014 ballot measure that helped change the punishment-based approach to substance abuse and addiction and allocated savings from reduced prison costs to drug treatment and other non-carceral approaches.
Right.
No, Pinsky said. He doesn't believe substance abuse is properly a criminal justice issue, yet people who don't agree to drug treatment should be jailed. Homelessness is also exclusively a mental health and addiction phenomenon, he argues.
Yeah, he argues because it is.
It's his profession.
It's all that. I would not say 5% of it does not involve mental issues or addiction issues. I would say 95%+, it's one or the other. There is no wildly pragmatic, sane person who's just wandering around on the street, sleeping in a fucking cardboard box.
Yeah, it's very let them eat cake. Like, I don't know, do you live where I live? Because I see a lot of addiction and a lot of mental health issues in Los Angeles. So in your ivory tower, you might not see what the rest of us see, but in the Valley and in Hollywood, that's what we see.
Well, I think, you know, I would concede that there's a group of, like, folks who go, you know, I want to get off the grid. I want to go full Unabomber.
Full nomad.
I'm going to Alaska.
Right.
I'm building a cabin. I'll heat it from burning wood or
whale blubber.
There's that. Those people ain't living under a bridge in South Central in squalor in a fucking tent that they pitched on a sidewalk. That's not that person. Right. There's a group of people who want nothing to do with society. That's not them. They are living more in society than we are. They are interacting with people. They're selling stuff. They're stealing stuff. They're getting money. They're getting drugs. That is not that person. Sorry. Dawson.
Homelessness is almost exclusively a mental health and addiction phenomenon, he argues.
Says the expert.
And has nothing to do with housing costs. Just look at how many immigrants come here and find a place to live. He does not appear to be swayed by academic studies engaged by LAHSA, showing that mental illness and substance use affect less than half of LA's homeless population.
That is the biggest bullshit study I've ever seen in my life. That's impossible. It's literally just walk outside.
Well, and not only is that bullshit, but I'm sorry, is 49% not enough for you?
Yeah, well, I agree.
I think as I posited before, it's an unreliable group you're surveying.
Right.
You can't survey mentally ill people and then be satisfied with the results.
Well, also, what do you think if you said, all right, it's housing costs. Okay, we've discussed this many times. Housing costs is expensive. Every Hispanic construction worker I worked with or lived with or rubbed elbows with, those guys, they get their families, they get about six people, they put them in one apartment, they all whack up the rent. It's all over the place in LA. When you drive down to Koreatown and you go down off of Wilshire and whatever, Western or whatever, you look at all those apartment buildings. There's not one dude living in there.
Bachelor.
With a heavy bag and a Harley against a brick facade. It is 11 people. You figure it out. And if this was it, like, let's just say, okay, when I had to move out, I didn't have enough to make rent either, so I went and found three or four like-minded people. Many of my friends did this. They got like three or four dudes. Mm-hmm. Nobody had $900 a month rent, but everyone had $275 bucks a month rent. So four of those dudes rented a house in deep North Hollywood, became kind of the party house. And I did that with an apartment.
Right.
I did that with houses. I've had multiple roommates in multiple houses multiple times. I never didn't have a roommate until I bought my first house.
You did have a roommate when you bought your first house.
Oh, and then I brought my first roommate, Cortland.
Yeah, see?
Who now does
Below deck.
Yeah. I brought him into my new house for about a year. Then eventually him and his girlfriend filling the sink with dishes and calling it a day. Decided to spread my wings out a little bit. But he obviously
became homeless after that.
That's right. So look, if you're homeless and you're sane, you're part of the 50% plus that is just can't afford rent. And there's ostensibly, so let's just do this little thought experiment. Fucking retard LA Times. All right. 50% plus of this throng of humanity are not addicted and they have no mental issues. They're simply people who can't cut the rent because the rent is too expensive.
Price out of the market.
All right. So
rent's too damn high.
That would then be the equivalent to thousands of people walking around on the street every day going, man, I wish I had a shitty apartment. Yeah. Now, don't you think two or three of those people would run into each other
and go,
hey, man, I'd like to get an apartment. And they went, you know what? I'm drug free and fit as a fiddle emotionally. I would, too. Oh, good. There's this place out in Sun Valley I saw an ad for.
Yeah.
Why don't we get that third guy? Because over the majority of us are sane and drug free, and all we would like is to live in an apartment, and every place is hiring now, right?
Yeah.
You can get a job flipping burgers at In-N-Out Burger for $21 an hour now, or whatever. Okay, good. Then we'll all just share our resources and move into this apartment. Wouldn't that be going on?
Sure.
Isn't that what drug-free, mentally stable people do? Yes.
Regularly.
Yes. So whatever this academic study is that they don't cite, it's worth
and
horseshit.
And the study's from the organization, the H, whatever it is. Right. Often you can say it again, association.
From your own organization.
Yeah, it's like a study we commissioned.
All right, sorry, do you have more?
Nor by studies showing that those afflictions are most successfully treated after the people who suffer from them are housed. He calls the housing first model embraced by the Board of Supervisors and experts around the country, quote, a hoax. Pinsky is popular in part because he gives people what they want. A veneer of expertise to dress up their indistinctive belief.
A veneer. Well, that's like 41 years of doing it versus your fucking Fakakta study. That's not a veneer of expertise. We have an academic study that says over 50% are not affected by drugs or mental conditions. All right.
To dress up their instinctive belief that simplistic solutions such as more criminal laws and more policing are the best ways to resolve social problems. At Board of Supervisor meetings, Barger has cited him approvingly, especially his assertions that homeless encampments could endanger the entire county by spreading communicable disease. That's ironic, given Pinsky's initial COVID denial.
Oh.
But even if Pinsky is right about the dangers of unsanitary encampments,
I think he may be right.
Even if
shitting in the pot next to the place where you cook your meth, even if that affects sanitary conditions.
Small if.
Right. Wait, just actually listen to this entire sentence. But even if Pinsky is right about the dangers of unsanitary encampments, or the troubling role of methamphetamine amongst a portion of the homeless population, his proper place is not on the board of an organization whose mission is to house people.
If he's right, his place is on the board.
Can't be on the board.
Don't you have to have an equal counter argument to all these accusations?
No, there. I told you, I cited it. It's in my book. The same group wrote that study on teachers and guns and arming teachers and whatever. And at the end of their diatribe about why this was a bad idea, they said, and I don't know what school shooting they were talking about at the time. I think 9 kids died or something. They went, so what if a teacher had a gun and only 3 kids died? What difference would it make?
Make a lot to 6 parents.
Big difference,
yeah. Right. But
12 parents.
Don't shit all over your own points when you're trying to make a point. I never get that. I mean, I get there's a proofreader who's looking for spelling and punctuation. Doesn't there someone who reads it for bad ideas?
An editor.
Yes.
Editor, yeah.
All right. You got it?
LAHSA would be only too happy to move thousands more people out of encampments and into housing, where experience shows they are far more likely to accept treatment for underlying conditions. If the city and the county would allocate the funding it takes to do it right. By the way, I do want to say that there's one of those tiny houses place right at Victory and the 170.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Empty.
Yeah.
Been up for years.
Come on.
Empty.
Well, the deal is
nobody wants to go there because they're all addicted to drugs and you can't have drugs in there.
Right. So they would rather live on the street and do drugs than live inside a house and not do drugs, even if it's a tiny house. All right, everybody.
The sweet irony of all of this is they're trying to tell us what's humane. And there are animals that walking around on the street that we would obviously help and pick up and go, where do we help this animal? And we just let people die on the street because that's more humane.
I was talking to Drew about this, and it's a very LA City Council kind of thing. I was literally talking to him earlier today, and it's sort of opposite whatever however Elon Musk thinks, they think in a way, which is an interesting thing. I've never really distilled it down this way. But anyone who has tried to build something or start a business or a restaurant or whatever in California, especially in L.A., is always like, oh, God, 3 years. 3 years with the permits. Bill Maher. I'm trying to get a goddamn shack built for 3 years to house a solar battery switch. You know, like, what the fuck? And I realize it's a completely different mind thing, which is it sounds counterintuitive, but some people, depending on your wiring, and you know these people in your life, they can talk about the same thing endlessly in terms of a problem that they're going to solve. Like, oh, man.
Or the project they're working
on. And you just go, just fucking do it. Yeah. Just do it. Just stop it.
The idea they have.
Like, I don't want to have this discussion ever again. You're writing a fucking cookbook for kids. Do it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It should be by now. I should be holding it.
It's kind of that way with Bill Maher's Solar Shack. It's kind of that way with all permitting. It's a real California thing, which is, hold on. We got to have a meeting. And then we're going to put it up and we're going to have a town hall and we're going to let people speak. And then there's a review board and it's like, what is this at its core? And the core is we don't want to do shit. We want to talk about shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every 6 months, the mayor will come out and talk about our home unhoused neighbors deserving the respect that, you know, it's like, but where's the plan? What's going on? What are we doing? And then you realize they don't want to do stuff. It's like a California thing. Like, we just want to kind of string it on.
But if you don't want to do stuff, then get the fuck out of the way.
We want to be in charge.
Oh.
But does that not justify their jobs and their everything? It's like the military industrial complex, right?
Right.
We need some sort of war or conflict to keep the thing rolling. Like, these people need to have the meetings and the hearings and the whatever and the delays and the inspections because to keep the whole machine turning.
Yes. It's Jesse Jackson wanting to have an Al Sharpton, an honest dialogue about race in 2022 where nothing ever changes, everything's the same, and nothing ever gets solved. All right, on that happy note, let me tell you about Black Buffalo. If you're 21 or over and you dip or chew, I know Dawson does a little dipping and a little chewing, and he loves himself some Black Buffalo. You can join the herd. It's a tobacco alternative, Black Buffalo. Everything you love about dipping, including a pharmaceutical grade nicotine without the actual tobacco leaf or stem, made from edible green leaves and food-grade ingredients with the same flavors and textures as traditional tobacco products, available in long cut and pouches as well. Plus, nicotine-free versions called Zero Flavors, like Wintergreen Mint Straight, and there's also Peach and Blood Orange as well. Ships directly to your door in days. Also, they have a subscription option as well. Use the promo code ADAM at checkout for 20% off your first order at blackbuffalo.com, right, Dawson?
I just packed a lipper.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Got the blood orange long cut.
Nice.
Tastes real good. Mm. It's got the same consistency of a nice good dip in your lower lip. And I'm enjoying this. I'll let you know how it goes as we go. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. This product is intended for 21 years or older. Current consumers of tobacco, underage sale is prohibited, may not be available in some states.
All right. Actress, model, stunt woman, Eli Jane will be in studio right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, Sam, this is Nick from Seattle. The other day, my 3-year-old daughter locked me into her bedroom from the outside, and I thought to myself, what would Adam do? So I popped off the doorstop, used her stool, popped pins on the door, took the whole thing off. Problem solved. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I don't know why you had to pop the doorstop off. You could just pull the pins on the knuckles of the hinges. No, look into that, man. Eli Jane, you just pull the pins on the hinges. Sure, the door stops, the piece of molding that stops the door when it doesn't make sense. Good to see you, Eli.
Hi. Nice to, thank you for having me.
Eli's an actress. She's a model. She's a stunt woman who does some really kick-ass stunts in The Way, which is a new movie available now on Apple TV, Google Play, and YouTube as well. And she's been on Entourage, Nip Tuck, Desperate Housewives, and especially Kong Skull Island. Love that goddamn movie. You were Brie Larson's stunt double in that?
Yep.
That's good. Because that, you know what it is? I mean, it's the ultimate tip of the cap. It means you look like Brie Larson, right, but you kick ass.
You kick more ass than Brie Larson.
So you're more Brie Larson than Brie Larson.
Yeah. I kick ass. So, you know, I kick Brie. I kick ass for Brie Larson. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of that movie, but I watched it in Vegas after having a few drinks, and I just remember yelling my son, Kong, Skull Island, like 33 times. That's what you do.
When you're drunk, that's what you do. You just repeat yourself over and over really
Who
loud.
Said drunk? Who said drunk? I didn't hear that word.
I didn't hear that one either. So you trained.
That's because I'm a drunk, so I think everyone's
okay,
drunk.
Well,
I'm
know.
Sorry. I'm reflecting
one.
Here. I'm so sorry.
You're trained as a gymnast, right?
Yes.
And that was, so what is your story? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Michigan. I moved around a lot as a kid, Texas, Illinois, San Diego, Florida. Then I got it here, turned 18 and got pregnant. So
at 18?
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Thanks.
And we were talking off the air that you went to UCLA and delivered a child, but I don't know if it was that child.
It was that child. I have two children, so yes.
So you have like an adult child, even though you look so brand new and young.
Wow.
That's a good thing,
He's
right?
23. He's, you know, an EMT, a lifeguard. He's he gives cruises. I don't see him anymore. And then I have my other one's 18, so.
Tell me they're stuntmen or stunt people.
No.
Please.
Although I will say that my oldest son is a gnarly athlete. I mean, he's one of the top lifeguards. He's on the boats. He's definitely what he does. His schedule is like the morning he gets up, goes surfing, then he does lifeguarding, and then he gives cruises. So it's constant all day, built brick house.
I'm sorry to say this because I know we're talking about your son, but that's fucking sexy.
Easy.
I know. That's like everything you're saying. Wow.
Well,
good for him.
It's like his dad. You know, he kind of followed after his dad. His dad was a surfer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the sort of sight unseen, I'm going to set you up with my friend department. On the male side, you go, you've never met this guy, but here's his schedule. He gets up and he surfs.
Yep.
And then he lifeguards after that.
Then he goes to work.
And then he goes to work and runs a cruise. And on the gal side, she's Brie Larson's stunt double.
Oh, fuck
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need to scour the internet and see pictures at that point. You got it.
Well, he actually has a girlfriend who does all the same stuff except for lifeguarding. Although she teaches surfing at the local high school. So it's like the female version of him.
I love that there's surfing taught at the local high school.
Yeah, some schools have surfing programs.
Yeah, I was in the surfing program when I lived in San Diego. Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yep.
God, that's got to be so much better than my ceramics class.
Better than making purple cows and kitchen.
Yeah. Like you got to just leave in the middle of the day and go surfing.
Yep. It'd be early morning, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The only. Oh, so was it
first thing?
Was it before school? Yeah.
It just varied. I mean, it was a long time ago, so it was middle school, actually. So I honestly don't remember, but I'm I mean, San Diego, that's how we do it. You know, we start them in
like
middle
lunch.
School.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember. It was probably some of both would be my guess, but I don't know. I don't remember.
San Diego moved around a lot. Was your dad in the Navy or something?
No. He just moved around when he got better jobs. But he was originally. He played football for the Air Force. So
wow.
Yeah, damn. Quarterback.
That's good genes, man.
Yeah.
And quarterback.
Yeah.
That's good.
Adam, it's an option quarterback.
It means athletic.
I'm fucking around.
He's pretty athletic.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
And it's good because offensive tackle usually means maybe a little more size.
I see.
For the offspring.
Okay.
But quarterback.
Svelte.
Sinewy. Yeah. Svelte. Yeah. I'm looking down here at something that's kind of interesting to me. I know that you're also involved with the project of the Von Dutch story, which is I'm kind of interested in. You everyone know Von Dutch?
I know the brand.
The brand.
Yeah, I don't know the backstory.
Von Dutch. Well, this is kind of interesting, but you can tell us about the – is it a three-part doc series? The Curse of Von Dutch is what I wanted to say.
Sure. It's on Hulu right now. Basically, my son's dad and I helped start Von Dutch, and I was their first model and one of their first investors. So when
and
I turned
stunt woman,
well, when I turned 18, I was originally a model, and I came out here. I met baby's daddy, and then I invested. I had some stocks, and my mom did too. We believed in the company very much, and it was my son's dad, so we spent our money on it, and you know, it ended up being this huge thing, which I eventually stepped down pretty quickly. So I didn't actually see the full rise of Von Dutch. But it's basically the story kind of from my son's baby daddy's eyes. I always say that. But yeah. And then it also goes into kind of the history on how it became what it became. And just the story of my son's dad ends up killing someone. And yeah, anyways.
Wow. Oh, my.
And he's kind of like a gang, or he was, you know, involved in that sort of lifestyle. And it kind of goes into the story of how it started. It's just basically like a, you know, surf brand that helps. Like, his mission right now is to help get gang members off the streets and into the waves right now. So
did you find it to be accurate? Like, an accurate portrayal of what happened, at least when you were there?
I wasn't there for a lot of the rising of it, so I don't know that part of it. I only know the part of, you know, it being in my family room and it all being in my name because they had no credit.
Was Von Dutch originally like a car pinstriper or graphic guy, like who worked on custom? Mm-hmm. There's a handful of guys who are like legendary hot rod, like sort of pinstriper guys. It's a dying art because everything is just tape now. But these guys would freehand this stuff, like real artistry shit. Was that what?
Right.
Chris, tell me Von Dutch's thing.
Because
I knew something about him. I don't know when he passed. I don't know if he has. I don't know. He did.
He's passed. So he did the pinstriping and flames on the cars.
Oh,
he was one of the originals, although Von Dutch is kind of like nothing is original. So, but he was one of the original artists, and he just has some really crazy stories. You know, Hell's Angels owner was like, "Hey, you're going to paint my bike," and he's like, "Yeah, yeah, sure." And then he leaves his bike there, and he comes back, and Hell's Angels like, "Where's my bike?" He's like, "It's all packed up in those boxes over there," and they couldn't believe that they did this to the head of the Hell's Angels. And I mean, he was just this gnarly guy. He didn't listen to anybody's rules, and so I think he already had a big history, and they kind of caught on to that. And then we ended up paying some money. Here's another Von Dutch story, but he left his whole estate to the daughters, or no, to his friend. And his friend was like Rat Fink, was like, hey, no, you're not going to leave it to me. I'm going to give it to your kids.
Wait, Rat Fink was the character, right?
I believe it was his friend. I know.
There's a Rat Fink, like, animated. So just to set the table, there's this whole kind of 50s hot rod characters, rockabilly. It sort of got usurped by the sort of rockabilly thing. And Rat Fink, Chris, you can look up Von Dutch, we'll figure out more. But he had all these, made all these cartoons of this crazy rat named Rat Fink. And he would, you know, they put it on T-shirts and stickers and stuff like that. So I guess Von Dutch created that.
I'm not
but
exactly.
But he had a friend named Rat Fink?
Yeah, I mean, it was left to one of his friends, so maybe I'm getting the Rat Fink wrong.
Yeah, Rat Fink was created by Ed Big Daddy Roth.
Oh, that's
okay.
Roth.
Okay. So one of his friends, thank you for, you know, it's been a while, but he left it to his friends, and then they gave it to the daughters, and then we would pay the daughters an amount to be able to use the name.
Right, so the Von Dutch name.
Yeah.
Yes. When did he pass then, Chris?
92. What? Kenny Howard, a.k.a. Von Dutch, passed in 92.
Yeah. So,
that shit was hot.
And then they came out, then the whole clothing line, and I guess that's where the money was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is it now defunct, or is there still selling Von Dutch stuff?
I don't know. Maybe in other countries. I mean, the documentary did really well in other countries, for sure, because it's an American brand.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is a real slice of Americana. That's like kind of Elvis and blue jeans and Cadillacs. You know, this Von Dutch is like very specifically American.
Yeah. Am I ignorant? I was associated with Paris Hilton.
No, you're right.
Okay. That's where I sort of became aware of the brand. I'm very square.
I didn't know anything about this. What happened with Paris Hilton?
She wore a lot of Von Dutch stuff.
Oh, really?
When she was in the public eye around 2000 or whatever it was.
Huh. Yeah. Also, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, the Nick Cage movie that's like...
We're all very interested
in. I think somebody, maybe my son informed me last night that it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
That's awesome. I love it.
Well, that must be why I didn't have a big part. No, I'm kidding.
But you were involved.
But I was involved, yeah.
Nick's stunt double?
No. It was one of those things where it was like a day player role. And I didn't even know I could improv. And I regretted not improvising. I was like, shit. What? Oh, well, whatever.
Is that coming out?
It's 22nd, I believe. A week from today as we record this.
And is everyone just through the moon to watch
psyched.
That movie?
I'm psyched. I mean, I think Nicolas Cage has a checkered history with a lot of viewers. You know, people know whether to trust a movie coming out with Nicolas Cage, but I've heard good things.
All right. So let's get back to The Way, which is the movie that Eli stars in. Where'd you shoot it and when did you shoot it?
So we shot it right in the middle of COVID, and it was kind of one of those productions that, you know, we had no experience with it. We were getting our noses swabbed and pricked and, you know, on a regular basis, but we were also on a prison. So we did have some problems with the SAG Directors Guild coming in. You can't shoot. There's a possible case, and our director is so great. He's like, yeah, let's see them get on a prison. You know,
like an
and
active,
stop us.
An active prison?
It was not active.
Okay, that's
but
for the
it
best.
Was, yeah. There was an active prison not too far away. But it wasn't active.
That's good.
Where you like transformed. I watched the trailer. I didn't watch the movie yet. But you were like tatted up and sort of.
Yeah. Gritty.
Gritty and dark.
I really brought out my baby's daddy. That's really what I did. I just brought him out.
Why would you know?
Are you still in contact, or do you have any relationship?
I do. You know, all my son's dads. There's a piece of me that just loves them. I have a child with them, and you know, I can never repay them for the gratitude I have for, you know, giving me a child, for sure.
Wow.
And as they used
that's
to say...
Awesome. You don't hear that very often. That's really nice.
He's gone straight, which now I don't think you can say anymore because it means he's done being gay.
Right.
But they used to call that, he's no longer getting into trouble.
The straight and narrow.
Baby's daddy's taking the gangbangers out to the Pacific Ocean. And
I mean, I think so. He's definitely got some stuff in the works, it sounds like. But, you know, you never know. So
I got to tell you, all people that are suffering a little bit mentally, get out to the goddamn ocean, mm-hmm. would you please? I was in the ocean this morning.
For sure.
Whatever your thoughts are, they melt away.
They do.
You get in the water, and the thing I realized I've talked about on the show before, when you're in the water, put yourself in situations where you need to concentrate on the situation a little bit.
Right.
Like, let's just say you're at the amusement park or the arcade or the Chuck E. Cheese, and you get one of those claw things, mm-hmm. you know, those games with the joystick and the claw,
sure.
and you want to get this teddy bear, right? So for that moment, when you're maneuvering the joystick, trying to get the claw to drop over the teddy bear, are you thinking about anything else?
It's all that matters.
That's mm-hmm. all that matters. Now, unfortunately, that only lasts 22 seconds. But
it usually ends in disappointment.
If you engage yourself in behaviors where you sort of need to do this.
It's like, described addiction.
Right.
That's right.
For 20 seconds, nothing else matters.
You know, when you're operating a table saw and you're like pushing the wood toward yeah. the spinning blade, you're really not thinking about mm-hmm. politics or COVID or Elon buying Twitter. Like, you're just pretty much there. Yeah. Otherwise, you get your fingers cut off.
Yeah.
And I went out in the ocean this morning, kind of had a big tide, you know, was kind of hitting hard and stuff. And I was like, that's all I was thinking about is where's that next wave coming in? Can I kind of time it and get under it? I don't want to get pummeled by it. Some point, like a pelican will go by and you go, oh, look at that. And that's about it.
Yeah.
That's where you're at. That's where your head's at. Kind of sucks you out of it. I could imagine when you're surfing, it's just you're looking for the next wave.
Of course.
There's something emotional going on with surfing because so many people feel the need to do it. And it's way beyond, you know, riding your Peloton or something. There's something that beckons those guys and gals.
Well, I think I've mentioned this maybe once on the show before, but there's this amazing organization called A Walk on Water. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but I've been to their events, and they're surfers who take physically disabled kids out on surfboards, and you can kind of like help and guide them and stand them up. Mm-hmm. And kids who've never spoken literally become verbal. Mm-hmm. Like there's something.
Water?
Yes.
No,
what drop am I waiting for?
I'm going to make up my charity today.
It's an unbelievable organization. And that, to your point, there's something magical about the water.
Yeah, there's something magical about the water. And then there's something not magical, but important about just kind of having this prolonged focus that has nothing to do with the extraneous parts of the world that
yeah.
everyone feels responsible for.
Like, I think it's just like nature as well. You know, if you don't have the ocean, you can go outside, look at the leaves, you know, look at the mountains. I think there's just a really important element in that for me anyways, you know.
Well, and there's something so beautiful about knowing that nature doesn't care about you. We're all yeah. so wrapped up in ourselves. Like the waves are coming either way.
Yeah.
That's yeah, right. They're there. Well, you're asleep, they're there before you're there, they're yeah. there long after you're gone, they're just there. And the thing about nature, you know, I think maybe this would be helpful to a lot of people that are sucked in the city. I think we do this thing where Eli just did it, where she went like, for me, you know, nature's important. And then people go, yeah, for me too. But it's important for everybody. They just don't know it. A lot of people don't know it. It's a universal. It's important. There's people that just work in high rises and they're downtown and they never leave that area and they go, I'm not into it. It's like, you are into it. You don't know it. It's important. It's important to you.
And I do have to say, you know, I walked in saying I'm a recovered addict. So there were times in my life that I never even saw nature. Like I could be in the middle of it and I just didn't even see it because I was somewhere else in my own head.
Right.
You know, so I think I appreciate it even more now that I was so far removed from it. So there is that element of, you know, negativity turning into positivity. But then there's also that thing where you reflect. So,
sure.
Sorry.
There's room for both.
Good amends.
Well, like reflect while you're hiking. I mean, I think when you think about where does the worst shit in the country go down, and the answer is the further inner city. You know, it's called inner city. It's like we're right in the middle of the city. That's where all the bad shit goes down. And as you branch out and get further from that pin in the middle of the city, like if it was a map, it'd just be a red pin. And you go, get away from that. And you just don't you don't see a lot of folks walking on the beach in Malibu, like wringing their hands and yelling into their cell phone.
Yeah.
I've been on the beach here for a year. I've never even seen a person smoke or kick their dog or yell at the sky or anything. They just like walk and talk, and everyone says hi, by the way.
That's yeah, they all do. The
big
yeah.
hand wavers over there.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Your oldest son is the EMT?
Yeah.
Well, Ab and I saw Ambulance, so we can talk EMT stuff all day long.
I was about to ask your take on that.
Hey, it's above average, a good for a Michael Bay movie, but I wouldn't say anything special or groundbreaking or
yeah.
I wouldn't be like, dude, this is great scene. No, it's fine. It's good. It's got some good action. It looks great. It's a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, that was kind of my take on it. Yeah, like it's
fine,
good.
Looks sharp.
Yeah, you could watch it.
Hot review, guys.
I'm not going to stop sure. you from watching it.
Because there's ridiculous Michael Bay movies, you know, maybe sure. Transformer iterations that you could goof on and have fun with. And this is it's a decent movie. It's above average.
Agreed. All right. I think Ricky Lake is waiting in the waiting room. Chris, does that bring that up?
Yep.
All right, I can't see you because Brian's moved his mic back.
Park out.
I'm trying to become part of the fucking table here.
You got to slide. If you scoot it forward, that'll
do. I'm touching the table.
It's about the lean. Okay. That's the part. It's
you missed the news that Adam can't see through part. Brian.
Yeah, it literally, your 7/8 lean opens up that window.
Damn.
All right, let me tell you about, speaking of this, BetterHelp. Physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and digestive issues can be indicators of stress. Plus, you're doom scrolling all day, sleep too little or too much, undereating, overeating. It's all a sign of you guys needing to get yourselves a little help. I think you know what the theme is. Let's get our heads straight, and then everything else magically straightens out. Take care of yourself. And try to do a little therapy. BetterHelp, customized online therapy offering video, phone, and live chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you do not want to. Much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. It's BetterHelp, right, Dawson?
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Corolla. That's BetterHelp.com/Corolla.
All right, the movie The Way. It is a kick-ass action thriller. It's available on Apple TV, Google Play, and YouTube. That is Eli Jane. And then Ricky Lake will be joining us right after this.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.